Well, in case you've been on another planet, let me break the news to you. We lost in the cricket. England retained the Ashes yesterday for the first time in Australia in 24 years. But there is still a glimmer of hope that England can only be certain of winning the actual series if it avoids defeat at the SCG. Yesterday, of course, sparked a bitter disappointment and a wave of commentary across the country on the team's future, and particularly that of Ricky Ponting. So to dissect it all, I'm joined now by ABC cricket commentator Jim Maxwell. Good morning, Jim.
Julian, hello.
Now, how serious do you think the calls for new players and potentially a new captain are?
Well, I'll be strong, but it's a question of how you improve the side. And I can't see too many ways of doing that just at the moment. Obviously, with Ryan Harris's injury, someone's got to come in for him. And the fact that the Australian top order around the captain, the vice-captain, haven't got any runs. Well, I don't know whether you're going to be replacing both of them, but Ponting's days are numbered, probably. He might hang on to the captaincy and perhaps a lower position in the batting order in the near future, because we've got a World Cup to come up after this. And there are doubts about his successor, Michael Clarke, the vice-captain, because he hasn't got any runs, and he may not have the mojo in the dressing room that he needs to instill confidence in those that want to appoint him as the successor. So there are a few things shifting there. Usman Khawaja could well be coming into the side and batting at number three, Ponting at four, and so on for this game. But apart from that, and maybe Michael Beer making his test debut, in the immediate term, I don't think there's going to be many changes.
And Jim, what would you do in Sydney? Do you think that Ponting should play still?
Well, if his finger's not right, he shouldn't play.
And I think we find that out today, don't we?
Well, yes, that's right. I don't know whether he should have played in Melbourne. I mean, it was probably no way they were going to stop him, but is this team picked by Ponting or the selectors? So, if you're injured, you often come up short. We saw it last year when he got away with it in Melbourne after he'd had that tendon injury, and he really didn't contribute with the bat, but we got away with the game and won it. So there's that question. So Michael Clarke could be leading the side next week, because the captain's injured. But
a lot of people have been talking about Brad Haddin as a potential kind of one-off captain. What do you think of that possibility?
I don't think Cricket Australia are keen on those ideas, but they want to appoint whoever it is who comes next for a longer term to rebuild the side. And that's where we're at, in needing to get some fresh ideas in terms of the leadership. And so that's why somewhere between now and August, when we play Test cricket again against Sri Lanka, we may move towards a change. And it may well be Michael Clarke, but beyond him, it's a bit hard to work out where to go. That's the problem.
Yeah, certainly. One of the things that Ricky Ponting has been saying is that perhaps part of the problem is that there isn't a pool of young talent to pick from, as there's always been, so many people knocking on the door of the Test team in previous years. What do you think of that comment?
It's true, yes. The Sheffield Shield is no longer providing the quality of high performance that we've seen in the past, when so many players in a Shield season were scoring a bucket of runs and there were a few good bowlers around as well. We're not seeing that at the moment. Certainly in terms of the batting, we are not seeing many people pushing strongly for claims. I mean, people like Ferguson and Sean Marsh averaging around 30 to 40 in Shield cricket. I mean, that's not the sort of performance you're looking at for future Test players. So it is an issue in the Australian game. And that's why I say, when you sit down and pick 12 for Sydney, how do you improve the side? It's not easy to do that.
Mm. And is this just a question of, the generational change and the particular crop of young cricketers playing the game at Sheffield Shield level at the moment? Or are there kind of bigger structural issues that cricket faces, maybe people being attracted to other sports and the like?
Well, if you want to examine that, I think there's definitely a case that cricket is struggling against a number of other sports. Certainly Australian rules football is more and more taking the young talent that in the past could have gone on to play Test cricket for Australia. And there are many other things that are happening in young people's lives these days, between Facebook and playing all sorts of games and being involved in instant gratification sports like basketball rather than cricket, which takes a bit longer. So, look, there are many issues out there that are a worry for the people involved in cricket, because they can't see the good young players coming through in the way they have in the past. So there are big big structural problems out there for cricket longer term.
Right. And the Daily Telegraph today has called for pretty well everyone to be sacked. What about the selectors themselves? Who makes the call about whether they'll stay in the in their positions, and what do you think their prospects are?
Well, we've just had a changeover this year. Merv Hughes was pushed out to make way for Greg Chappell, who's the national talent manager, and he's come onto the panel. The chairman of the selectors, Andrew Hilditch, you know, his term may be up sometime in the
Not a very popular man at the moment, it seems.
Well, no. You know, they've made some good calls, and in the last 12 months, they've probably made some wobbly ones. And there's a look of instability about the team at this stage. So, you know, look, lots of decisions you can look back on over the last 12 months around Australian cricket. I mean, was it a smart idea to be putting John Howard up as VP at the ICC when the chances were he was going to get knocked back?
Indeed.
That's exactly what happened.
All right, Jim Maxwell, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Jim Maxwell, ABC cricket commentator and guru of the game. And, of course, all eyes will now turn to the Sydney Cricket Ground to see what happens in that final test match of the series. That is it for Summer Breakfast today. I'll be back tomorrow, of course, where we will be having a bit of intrigue looking at the year of espionage in 2010. So join me for that discussion. It's time now, though, for Future Tense on ABC Radio National.